This is a KUNV Studios original program.
The content of this program does not reflect the views or opinions of 91.5 Jazz and More, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, or the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education.
Good morning, and thank you for joining me for The Scoop with Tanya Flanagan. I'm so happy you decided to wake up and start your day with me. Here on The Scoop, where we talk about life, joy, funny moments, trending topics, and so much more. We promise to keep you in the know and find out what you know. So, let's get started. Good morning, Las Vegas, and welcome to another show here on KUNV 91.5. Jazz and More, so excited that you woke up to join me on The Scoop. As you know, we are in the middle of Women's History Month, and I thought it would be a great time to continue to focus on women here in our great city who have done amazing things with their life or blazed trails and done something that might be unexpected in the career space. So today, that is exactly what we're talking about, and I'm excited and delighted to welcome to be my studio guest, my dear Sora of Alpha Kap Alpha Sorority Incorporated, LaTanya Lister, who is a fire engineer with the City of Las Vegas Fire and Rescue. LaTanya, good morning, and thank you for joining me.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
I appreciate your getting up bright and early and getting a cup of coffee and sitting down to share some conversation with me. What you've done or what you did with your life is truly an amazing feat and first, and I want to talk about it and get into it, but you are the first African-American woman to be hired onto a fire department in the state of Nevada.
Yes, I am.
And you've been on, how many years ago was it that you came on?
I was hired November of 1994, November 1st of 1994.
So right at 30?
Almost 30, 29.5 okay. Years.
Yeah. That's quite a while ago and a really different time in the fire service. I remember when you came on a few months later, I came, or maybe a year later. You said it was November of 94. So a year later, in November of 95, I moved to Las Vegas to become a reporter with the Las Vegas Review Journal, and I covered fire and rescue. And so I got into the weeds of what was going on in the fire service and some of the treatment and just, you know, the standards. We always refer to it as a paramilitary organization. And so it took a lot of courage to decide to go into the fire service. Why? Was that, you know, what called you?
Well, actually, I graduated from UNLV, and at the time, Las Vegas was going through kind of like a recession, and I graduated with a bachelor of science degree, but I wasn't working in my field, and I really needed a job, and I also was a UNLV track athlete. So at the time, the fire department was hiring, and I thought, wow, this would be a great opportunity because it combined physical agility would also serve in the community. And the more I researched it, I was like, wow, this is a great field, a great opportunity, and it had a lot of potential growth that you can be, because there's other jobs besides firefighting within the fire department. And I thought this would be a great career path for me.
Were you, I don't know, like, what were you thinking? Did you know you were going to be the first?
No.
Like, there were other women on the department, right?
Yeah, and I had no idea.
But you didn't know you were going to be the first African-American woman.
I had no idea.
What was that like when you found out that that was the role, the space you were about to occupy?
Well, there was a lot of extra pressure on me to be perfect, to, like, perform. A lot of people would look at me, judge me a lot because I had to represent, well, it felt like I had to represent every African-American.
An entire race of
people.
Even just black women, just an entire race of people. So did it feel like you were being judged, being watched? Just the pressure and the example that you had to set, did you study longer, work out harder? What was that like?
I pretty much felt, even from the beginning of rookie school, I had to be perfect. And I remember one time we would like partner up and we would get evaluated by the evaluator. And I noticed my counterpart had a higher evaluation score than I had. And she just merely said, well, you just don't look as confident. So I was just judged even by the way I looked. So, wow. And it was just kind of like, well, all right, I'll just keep my nose down and just do whatever they say for me to do. But it's like any woman, like even though I was the first Black, I was maybe like the 10th woman on the fire department, just period.
So altogether, it was a super new space.
Yeah,
so.
even right now, women only make up like 4% of the fire department in suppression. So pretty much, you know, when you have a majority of men and then a little bit of a small amount of women, most of the men tend to evaluate how well a woman is working, how strong she is, if she's able to keep up. Because we do have a very physical job. It can be very demanding mm-hmm. on your body. So, but yeah, I was very critical on myself to be perfect.
Coming all these years, you know, forward later, do you think it's changing? Do you feel like, I mean, you just mentioned that there's only like 4%. So, mm-hmm. And I know there's a lot of campaigns out there from time to time to try to engage women and interest them and wanting to have a career in the fire service. If you were speaking to, and let's say you are speaking to young girls right now in this space who might be listening and considering, or maybe they've never considered it, but like you are looking for a great career path, what would you say to them to give them, what, you know?
I would tell them to come out, and we have a lot of programs available for people to come and observe the fire department. It really is a great career. I wish more women would come out and think about it. I know the images that we see is mostly male, mm-hmm. But it's a very good career for women to get into.
What do you think they're afraid of? I mean, I have these conversations about recruitment efforts, and I see the agencies go through the motions of doing videos and having women do testimonials about being in the fire service or how to manage everything from their hair, because it's really a different space where you're talking about a career that was male dominated for so long. Mm-hmm. So all of the quarters were suited for men. And when you're on, you do shifts that are like 24 to 48, 72 hours. It's like, yes. 48, 72 hours on. And then there's so many hours that you're off. Mm-hmm. And then you come back and you do another rotation of that shift with your ABC, whatever your platoon, I'm not sure if that's what mm-hmm. they're called, but
correct.
You know what it's, what they, how they do that. The adjustment of being, if you're the only female or maybe two are working in that platoon, if you only have 4%, what is that like to get your head wrapped around?
Well, we do have a brother and sisterhood type of organization. So I can tell you in the past, it was a little bit rough mm-hmm. at times. A lot of different personalities, but now it's a lot better than it was in the past. And we truly do try to have that brother sisterhood, you know, connection.
Is that what you like about it maybe the most? One of the things you like the most, the brother sisterhood component of it? Or I guess I'm saying, what do you like the
most? Yes, because in the one thing I can tell you about working on the fire department, I remember a long time ago, my chief corrected me because I'm like, oh, yeah, this is a good job. And he's like, no, it's not a job. It's a career. And it truly is, because you grow up with these people. So like when I had a child, my daughter calls some of my coworkers uncle because I spend so much time at the fire station, and she comes up there and she grew up with them. They remember when I was pregnant till when she graduated from high school. So we truly do, and we do like a lot of family outings outside of work, because we are there 24 hours or 48 hours. And that's another thing too, like with the fire department, if you are a single mom, you're able to provide for your children, you know, and you can make it off of a single income. And so many people nowadays, you need both incomes. And yeah. On the fire department, we do work 10 days a month. We have 20 days off. The longest part is just being on a 24 or 48 hour shift, But for the whole month, we only work the 10 days. So you have the other 20 days off to vacation, travel. You know, I was also like participated with my daughter's class as a assistant all the time because I had a lot of free time. So that's a lot of things that the fire department offered me besides, like, also they offer if you want to go back to school and get your college degree, they pay for that. So there's great opportunities with the fire department.
Things about it. I hear people all the time talk about the mindset that it's a certain type, that it's a certain type of individual who becomes a, you know, goes into the fire service. Like, I've gone out, I've had the privilege of being invited to go out and like see some of the burns when the rookies are in school and to see how difficult the training is and how strenuous it is. What do you say to the argument that it takes a certain mental or type of person? Is that true?
It's true.
And but is it different with women? Because, I mean, women are different from men. Like, we're different from men. So the man's mind different than the woman's mind, the body, the work, the workout. And then as a rookie, they're trying not to treat you differently, right? Because they don't want to single you out as a woman. But what they're doing guy to guy might be, like, really rough. How did you handle, you know, some of that? Can you talk about that?
Well, I think the way that men speak to other men is different than the way that women speak to other women, or how women would like to be spoke to by a man. But I do feel that men in academy, they're probably physically stronger than us, but I do believe women are mentally stronger than men. And there's a point, like, in the academy, and it's the test is like a failure test. So they have you're on that SCBA, that's like the face mask that we wear, and you you're breathing oxygen, and you just keep on working until you're just completely out of air. So there was like a test where they're gonna physically exhaust you until you just fall over. You know, and once you get past that point where you can just fall over, and then they're like, okay, you're down, but get back up. We still have more work to do. Once you get over that part where you feel like you're just going to pass out and you can't give anymore, and you get past that point, and I think that's what separates even like that whole mental physical thing, because I've been at times where I'm like, normally in a workout, I'm like, okay, I'm done. But if you're at a fire, you're not done until that fire is out. So right. It can be, I've been on fires where you're on the fire for like 8-9 hours, you know, and you're just like, I'm so tired, but there's no stop, you know. And if you can get through that, it's
you can get through it. You can do it.
You can do it.
You can do it. Because it's the space of endurance. It's like, and I never really, you know, you're making me think about it completely differently in terms of what it requires. But you're right. You're at a fire. And some family is hoping that you're saving some, you know, they're already losing part of this neighborhood, right? So what are we saving? Especially in huge fire situations, like, what are we saving? And everyone's always happy to, you know, they always say people are happy to see the fire department show up because you're here to save and to make a difference. And so I never thought about it like getting to the threshold where you're at the breaking point and knowing that there is no quitting. I mean, there may be a rotation now. There's a refresh. There's a when it can be. I guess there's a trading out of crews to respond to that same incident.
But no one's allowed to go.
No one's going anywhere. You're just breathing for like 15 minutes or something or whatever that time frame is. Before you're back in there to do something else in the strategy of trying to get the fire contained.
Yeah, we call it rehab. So you get rehab, especially in the summer. In the summer when it's like 105, 110, and then you have on all that gear and everything, and you're sweating, you're tired, and they'll pull you out, and you get like, I don't know, 10 minutes break, and then they do a set of vitals, and then they're like, all right, you good? Go back in. Yeah.
Is that also a little bit thrilling, though, like knowing that you are pumped up and you have gotten your body and your mental capacity and your physical capacity to a point to be able to handle this? Because I admire you, because I know growing up as a little girl, we've always been told,
you can do anything that you can dream and believe that you want to do or you, you know, want to try to do. I have to honestly say, I respect it. I admire it. I remember as a reporter, I did an article on Trina Giles, who became the first African-American woman to join the Clark County Fire Department. Mm-hmm. And as a reporter, I was tasked with the idea of following a rookie around. And they wouldn't let me follow Trina at this point. You were already on the department. So I found out then that that's why I knew you were first and she, you know, was coming in behind, because I found out you were over at the city at the time. They wouldn't let me follow Trina. And the idea was, what if she fails? Then you're following this rookie female through the fire academy, who then doesn't make it. And what is the story? So I had to follow a male recruit to see what it was like to be a rookie in the fire academy through his entire journey, because they were certain that he would make it, but they weren't certain that she would make it. She did make it, went on to have a stellar career, as you have done, and to retire from the county fire department. But they wouldn't let me follow her. And I've never, as a female, thought, oh, I want to be a firefighter. Like, I wasn't that girl.
Yeah, but I can probably see why, just because the woman's failure rate is higher than the man. Yeah. You know, so
I got it. As a reporter, I totally understood, you know, what we were dealing with. I did later do an article on her once she made it through. We sat down and we had a nice conversation, and I wrote an article about her life. And it's a privilege to come 29 years later, for me 28, and to have the opportunity to have a conversation with you about your career in the fire service, the same as I talked with her when she was at the start of it. You're at the end. So she was looking ahead and you're reflecting. And it's really nice to have this opportunity to sit with you and reflect on your career during Women's History Month.
And I want to say one of the biggest things I remember is being like the young 23-year-old in the fire academy. I think for any women out there, even if you're doing a non-traditional field, you have to believe in yourself that you can do it. That's like the biggest part, because even some of the women on our job, we come in all shapes and sizes. But if you believe in your head that you can do something, you can do it. You just truly need to believe that you can do it.
That's the concept, that if you can see it, you can manifest it and make it reality. Now I have to, you know, we're going to have a little girl talk too, just for a second while we're here talking this morning, because one of the things that comes up all the time is what it takes to maintain yourself. One of the things that comes up all the time is what it takes to maintain yourself, because it's, you know, as women, we do a lot, beauty, skin, hair, whatever. You're gorgeous.
Thank you.
Gorgeous. And what is that like? I mean, you mentioned being hot, sweating, hair. I mean, clearly no one's wearing makeup, so that's like not an issue. But you want to feel beautiful, so there are things that you do do. How do you adjust to that part? Because you're sweating, you're working out all the time. And they talk about the women who sometimes cut all their hair off because the guys do the buzz cuts. Do the girls ever do?
Well, you do have your choice. Some women want to be considered just like the men, so they choose to cut their hair. With the city and the county, as long as you have it pinned up or in a ponytail above your collar, then you meet, you know, dress code. At the time that I went through, I didn't cut my hair, but it was fine. And when it comes to looks, I mean, on the fire department, a lot of guys take their looks very serious too, so we're very into like working out, staying fit. We actually all eat pretty healthy, even though we eat like these really nice meals, because chow is like everything to us. That's our dinners. But we're all kind of, I guess, a little bit vain, but in a good way.
Firefighters are some of the best cooks, though. I mean, when you get into that, did you know how to cook before? Is that like also a space where you kind of have to carry your own in the space where you have to cook?
I actually learned on the job.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm wondering, is it like a course where when you're, because you don't think about the behind the scenes things that go on in the fire service. You know, it's like a family, and I've been around, you know, at some of the events, and you do see how connected people are, how much they lean in. And it's like brothers and sisters, like you said, it's another extension of your family. You have all these brothers and sisters. Yeah. and all these cooking tricks. And I remember being invited as a reporter to chow once, you know, and they were doing, I think that's when I started putting garlic in greens, because somebody had put garlic in the greens, and I was like, oh, wait a minute, let me try this.
Yeah, we pride ourselves on our cooking skills. Mm-hmm. We're always trying to show out like who can cook the best. And I actually cooked for 10 years because I remember the fire station, we actually call it like our firehouse. So we treat it like a house. And I cooked for 10 years and not because I was a woman. It was just because I'm a very picky eater. So I wanted to eat what I wanted to eat all the time. And so whoever is the cook kind of dictates what's on the menu for the day.
Okay. You know? So that's how you control the narrative. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that, any regrets as you look back over all the time you've spent on the fire department?
Yes, I have regrets. I remember being a strong woman. Like I said, I graduated from UNLV. I used to run track. And I also had three brothers. I'm the only girl with three brothers. And so I was used to like being teased or talked to and maybe even shoved a little bit, but I always had a voice. And somewhere on the fire department, predominantly working with men, and they're predominantly alpha men, you kind of lose your voice. And especially with being outnumbered, like some of the fire stations, I was the only woman, or I didn't even see the other women. And so now that I'm older, I'm just now finding my voice again.
That's interesting.
Being able to speak up, mm-hmm. and, you know, say, hey, no, this isn't right. Or, you know, hey, this should be fair. Or, you know, and I think women as a whole, we don't speak up. We, you know, and that's my regret. Like, I should have spoken up more, even though it's like difficult, you know, and then being comfortable with being in a difficult situation, yeah. and still having your voice and being able to speak out.
But you know, and I'm glad you were honest enough to talk about that and to reference it, because it takes courage, but it takes maturity, mm-hmm. and it takes growth and coming into who you are. And I think as we travel our journeys in different career space, and even as more so as African-American women, because carrying the weight of the history of a race of people and how those people have been oppressed for a really long time, like, you know, mm-hmm. with slavery, and coming through everything that has happened to find yourself in careers and in new spaces, in new rooms. It takes a lot to settle into who am I in that space. And when you're first, there's no one who's gone before you to say, here's what I went through, or here's how to handle this. You know, it's just like being the first person to sit at the table in a boardroom. Mm-hmm. If you're the first to sit at that table in the boardroom, well, who's gone before you to help you understand how to navigate that space? But it also is, I think, a tremendous opportunity in giving back. To mm-hmm. look at others who are coming behind you, because you are a trailblazer. You're the first, and you've done exceptionally well to survive in a paramilitary organization and to promote. I mean, you've held a number of different positions and you've promoted, so you've taken on new responsibility. You've shown your ability to adapt and to grow, to reach back and to help others navigate that same space, so that going forward, it's different for the women who come behind you, especially women of color mm-hmm. who come behind you. And just women in general. I found in my career space that even though as an African-American woman, it was very different. The marginalizing was very different. I also found that my Caucasian counterparts were struggling in some ways just the same. Mm-hmm. You know, they might have had different roles seated at the table, but I saw them fighting and scrapping for presence and for respect mm-hmm. and consideration of thought. And so I know that as women as a whole, we're going through that. But I have to say kudos to you for what you've done, who you become, where you are, the career that you chose. What is something that you really liked better? Because I don't want to assume it was the brother-sister component that was the best thing. So what was? I think, really cool about being
I always brag about like when you go into work, you probably have to like check your emails and respond back. I go into work and there's no set agenda. You know, every day is different. Every call is different. Every fire is different. So I like the spontaneity of the day, okay. You know, because everything is no day is exactly the same. We have some routine things that we do in the morning, like clean the station, inspect the fire trucks. But then after that, it's like whatever random thing is going to happen.
What is, you know? Can you talk? I know it might be some confidentiality, but not getting into obviously any descriptions. What's one of the strangest, craziest calls you've ever gone out on?
Ooh, well, I can tell you I've been on the Rio fire when it was under construction or they were adding on. I've been on the Stratosphere fire. I've been on Our Lady of Las Vegas. They had a fire.
I remember that fire.
Yeah. Summerlin, when it was under construction, this is way back when they had two fires. I was on both of that. And the Crazy Horse. I was on that fire too. Those were huge fires, like huge.
They were. And it's so crazy that as you sit here, because we're kind of really close in age, we might be the same age. I was a reporter a lot of the times you were at a fire. So I was there either getting information or just very aware. I remember the Our Lady of Las Vegas fire.
Mm-hmm. It was huge. I was in there and they pulled me out.
Yeah. I remember recently he passed, may rest in peace. Battalion Chief Lawrence Wycliffe was often the battalion chief on fires when I was on duty.
And I was on the Moulin Rouge fire too. Mm-hmm. Pretty much any major fire, I've been on it.
Wow, that's something.
That's the ones I remember
I was a reporter and I would go out to the scene, and I remember because he would be sitting in a truck telling everyone what to do. Like he was so cool and, you know, collected, super good guy. But whenever, and whenever I was reporting on something and I didn't know what was going on, or they might want me to find details of a vehicle fire on I-15 that was happening at 5:20 p.m. that a photographer got wild art photography of. Are you serious right now? He wrote down nothing about the car, nothing about exactly where it was. He just photographed a vehicle fire on the freeway, and you want me to get all this information. And I would call Chief Wycliffe, and he would do his best, and he would track it down. And if he could get it, he would get it. But I remember all those fires. You had quite the career of...
We even had a down plane into a house fire.
Oh, wow. Yeah. When you're going through all of that and you're helping others behind you, and we're getting down to our last few minutes, do you ever, like, do classes or talk, or how can people... Do you ever participate in where they talk about how to go into the service since people find you? I know you're really a private, you know, citizen, but if someone interested.
If they reach out to the City of Las Vegas Fire and Rescue, and we do have someone in charge that will get Jordan Moore from Las Vegas Fire and Rescue. She's our PIO.
Okay.
And if you reach out to her, through the City of Las Vegas Fire and Rescue, and she can contact me or someone like me.
Sounds good. I want to say we're coming down to the wire. I just want to say thank you to my wonderful soror and friend for coming on and talking during Women's History Month about an amazing and unique career that you don't see a lot of women in, but when you do see them, I have to tip my hat and say thank you for all that you do.
Well, thank you for having me, and all the future female firefighters out there, you will love this career.
You can do it. You can do it. Well, Las Vegas, I hope you are inspired and thinking about a different career if you weren't thinking about it before. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week. I want to thank you for tuning in to The Scoop with me, Tanya Flanagan, and I want to invite you to get social with me. I'm on Facebook and Twitter. My name is my handle, TanyaFlanagan. You can also find me on Instagram at Tanya Almond Eyes Flanagan. And if you have a thought, an opinion, or a suggestion, don't hesitate to shoot me an email to tanya.flanagan@unlv.edu. Thanks again for joining in. Stay safe and have a great week.